Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is February 8th, 2019, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by two guests today. One, Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mike.
And two, from Atlanta, Nicole Thomas, Vice President, Information Services. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Michael.
Happy Friday to both of you.
Happy Friday.
Today we're going to do a WASDE recap. So finally, we have government reports back. So Yes. Hopefully you two have very exciting things to say. But first, I'm sorry, Nicole, the Rams did not win the Super Bowl.
I know.
You know.
It hurt
my heart. At least they made it.
They made it. They got some great experience.
Yeah.
And hopefully somebody at some point will learn that if you're playing the Patriots, you probably need to bring your backs in just a little bit and play man coverage and blitz.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll move on to the exciting. Well, Kevin's a Raiders fan, so he's already into next season.
Yeah,
so.
He's fine. He's fine.
Vegas Raiders.
It's always next year.
Yeah. But let's get right down to it and talk a little bit about the WASDE today. We'll have Kevin cover sugar and Nicole, you cover corn and soybeans. So let's first start with sugar. Got a little bit of extra cane production, but what else?
Yeah, well, and sugar in February is pretty typical. It's about as exciting as this last Super Bowl was. So we did get some changes in supply, as Mike just mentioned, with the cane production. Cane production was up both in Florida, Louisiana, 76,000 tons. So we got a little bit more supply there. And then also we got some additional supplies from some adjustments that the USDA made to 17-18, which increased our beginning stocks 60,000 tons. So that's really the extent of it. There was some minor changes in imports, but basically we ended up with 131,000 additional tons to supply.
Yeah. And we got more sugar. So again, so that means your stocks to use ratio is a massive 14.6. Should I be getting excited right now, Kevin?
Well, 14.6% is a lot better than 13.5% as far as supply goes, but you know, it's not super exciting because we're still down 1.5% from last year.
Okay. So all right.
It's subdued excitement.
All right. Subdued excitement. We guess we'll just wait for the Twitter colloquium later this month. For additional excitement, we have Craig talking there at the Sweetener Colloquium. So if you're going, check out Craig. He'll be talking about all kinds of cool sugar stuff and make it as exciting as possible. So anything else on sugar?
Yeah, like I said, just wrapping that up. I think, you know, this trades could be looking at this more for what's going on for 2020, since most people have already covered their sugar for 2019. Mm-hmm. And I think you could make a case with the additional supplies here that that's a little bit bearish. What really I think we could be seeing down the road, though, is looking at the demand numbers. So the USDA is still showing a increase of about 0.6% for food use deliveries. And yet deliveries through the first quarter are actually off 0.9%. And you could also look at imports and say maybe imports are coming in stronger, but imports are still off a little bit as well. Okay. So, you know, it is looking like sugar demand is struggling a little bit. So on top of the additional supplies and potential for needing to lower demand, you really could see imports take a hit for Mexico when the USDA resets their numbers next month. So, you know, it's potentially you could have a couple hundred thousand tons come off of Mexico's import numbers and bring that stocks to use back to 13.5%.
Got it.
As they're required to do under suspension agreements for the March WASDE.
Got it. Okay. Anything else on sugar?
That's the excitement. So
let's get a little corny and talk about corn and soybeans. Sorry.
Oh my.
Help
There's
me.
There's subdued excitement
you,
over
you
here.
You
got
to save me on this one. Come on. What's going on? What did they do to corn and soybeans?
So let's talk about corn first. You know, I think for the most part, the report just confirmed what a lot of people were already thinking. You know, supply dropped by about 200 million bushels with lower harvested area and yield, the latter being the first year-on-year drop in yield since the 2015-16 crop year. And on the demand side, there was a 25 million bushel reduction in ethanol demand. And we've talked in recent podcasts of reports of poor margins and growing stocks or stable stocks despite declining production in the ethanol industry. So I think the thing to watch for that category moving forward is the prospect of greater ethanol exports to China. And also keep that in mind for corn exports, certainly. But what may have caught some people off guard was the 125 million bushel reduction to feed demand. And I've talked about this in the past, too, and how I thought that number may have been a little inflated. I didn't expect to see it reduced in the February report, admittedly. But that could have also been to offset the lower supply scenario and what would have been a major decline to the ending stocks number on the report and not necessarily wanting to do that. But that number definitely seems more reasonable now at 5.375 billion, as long as livestock production hangs in there and taking into consideration less production of DDGs as a result of slightly lower ethanol production. So I'm comfortable with the ending stocks level or near 1.7 billion bushels. I definitely think that's fair. And then globally, the USDA left values for production unchanged for Brazil. Okay. And increased Argentina's production by 3.5 million metric tons. So that puts global ending stocks higher than last month, or I guess the December report, by about 1 million metric tons. The second season Brazilian crop potential is looking pretty good at this point. And Chinese production was raised as well. But stocks are still projected to decline year over year. And I'd say that along with some other things, make a case for the market turning maybe a bit more bullish. Futures are getting support from indications that we need more corn acreage in 1920. Prospects of additional corn and ethanol demand from China, again, pending that trade talk success, and tightening global supplies versus last year, which I think is the big one. And we also can't forget about the speculators. You know, the corn market is one that is actually presenting some bullish fundamentals to supplement what otherwise has been a pretty quiet market and arguably some quiet markets for commodities as a whole or agricultural commodities as a whole. But the bottom line is I think we're in for some upside volatility over the next few weeks, especially if those trade talks progress nicely.
Got it. Okay. Anything else?
Well, on soybeans.
That's it for corn. Let's go to soybeans.
Yeah, for soy, I think I'm going to save my thoughts on soybean oil until our webinar in a couple of weeks. We'll be doing that on February 20th, and I'll cover that market along with some tropical oils. But kind of focusing in on soybeans, I think it deserves some scrutiny, and I definitely don't want to make this a 30-minute podcast, so we'll save the oil talk for later. But in terms of the supply, the reduction for soy supply was expected in the market as well, and I have to give a shout out to my soybean market analytical cohort, Barbara, on our information services team for our Bloomberg survey guess of 51.5 bushels per acre and our total production estimate of 4.547 billion bushels. And by us putting our heads together, we were within 3 million bushels of today's number. So that's a challenging thing to do. I got to give some kudos, kudos to the team for that, especially Barbara.
I fight for Barbara.
But in general, the market anticipated a reduction in supply. I'll say that. Now, on the demand side, we're going to go big and make some bold predictions on domestic ending stocks there, too. And that's where this report got interesting. Now, I'm certainly on board for the crush increase of 10 billion bushels to a little under 2.1 billion. You know, domestic crush has been strong, even record breaking in recent months. But the number I'm still wondering about is this export number. And the USDA lowered it by 25 million bushels to 1.875 billion. Now, the key is if and when this trade deal is done. In other words, these sales need to be at these levels by the time South America completes this potential, potentially 181.5 million metric tons of soybean production. And that would be up by about 13 million metric tons from the year prior. Now, the November census data showed a 45% decrease in soybean oil sales, or excuse me, in soybean sales. Now, granted, that is November, and a lot has transpired as far as the trade discussion and even some Chinese sales thus far. The thing is, those sales aren't sales until they're shipped. And that's the thing to keep in mind, because there are often times where we see cancellation of shipments from China throughout the year. And once that South American harvest is done, we'll see even less demand from South America for U.S. soy, because that's a lot of the weird sort of trade flow dynamic that's been going on with a lot of the soy in South America going to China and then soy coming from the U.S. to South America. So I say all that to say we could see domestic ending stocks for soybeans move higher in later reports. But the export number, I think, is definitely the key.
Okay, great. Great recap, Nicole. Great recap, Kevin. And remind everybody that we have our spring seminar coming up on April 24th on consumer trends. We're going to be drilling down. It's in Oak Brook, Illinois, and we'll be drilling down on specifics on consumer trends and how they impact specific ingredients. But we'll also be giving you a lot of information about overall consumer trends. So if you're interested, spaces are limited. So check out our website at McKinney-Flavelle.com. You can register there. Can't think of a better thing to do in April to come to our seminar and learn about trends. So I know Kevin's going to be there. Nicole's going to be there speaking. So be sure to register and check it out. And until next week, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy your friends, family, and everybody else, your neighbors, everybody. And until next.
Your neighbors, your dog, all your buddies.
Your
dogs.
Everything. There you go. Fish, right. Everything.
Yeah.
Take care, everyone.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.
Take care. That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favelle.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.